It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. One of the storylines that always bubbles up is why protests will pop up across the country and here in Chicago after a police shooting, but not when there's a weekend like last weekend in Chicago violence. Inevitably, you hear social media rants. They'll say something like, why protest in Ferguson or Baton Rouge or St. Paul when you should be protesting the violence right here in Chicago? Do you not care about your own community? It's a loud counter-argument to Black Lives Matters, usually started by white people. But according to journalist Rashana Baldwin, comparing the two storylines are like apples and oranges. And not only that, it's a bit ignorant. Rashana Baldwin has spent the last few years trying to showcase positive stories in Chicago's Inglewood neighborhood. Inglewood is just one of the South Side neighborhoods that has seen its share of gun violence. Baldwin co-founded RAGE, Resident Association of Greater Inglewood, and she hosts a show called Good in Inglewood. And she's my guest tonight. Rashana Baldwin, good to see you.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Good. So there was a big DNA info article yesterday about the idea of black on black crime. This concept that, and we hear it all the time and we see it on days like today, where when protests take to the streets because of a police shooting, inevitably people will say, well, why aren't there protests for what's happening in Chicago every single day? Why is that a bad thing? Why is that a false comparison?
Because we have been, you know, protesting or, you know, coming out in numbers and really trying to stop the so-called, if they will, black-on-black violence. But in the article I mentioned, let's really address the bigger picture and why is that happening? Why is it black-on-black violence? Why are we having those people rise up in anger because of the lack of funding,
right.
Resources, the disparities, yeah. The resources. What happens when you take so many things in our community out of our community and our communities don't look like the communities that are thriving when you come to the suburbs or downtown and you wonder why Inglewood and the residents are upset or angry or hurt or, you know, just, you know, is up in arms because of these issues. We don't have those same resources to live on a day-to-day basis and live comfortably like individuals who live north of right. Roosevelt Street.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting argument, and you hear it a lot. But I try to think back to covering Chicago in different capacities over the last 20 years, and I do feel like people have protested against the violence.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where people just either the media is not going down to cover those protests or the protests are just not being heard.
They're not being heard, and that's what I do to get the word out on what residents like myself who live in these communities are doing. We are addressing the issues. We are at the tables. We are marching in the streets. We are in the boardrooms. We are in the radio airways. We are writing articles. We are talking to our elected officials. You know, they want to hear from their constituents, so we are doing our due diligence, but you know, if you see me on social media, I push back, like cover that, show the side of residents working together to make change in the community. And that doesn't get covered. And I often say because it's not sexy enough. We know what sells on the newspaper. We know what sells on the radio airwaves, but they don't want to see that picture. They want to see the disparity. They want to see, you know, the violence, the mom crying and falling out in the street. They don't show the residents at tables
right.
really strategically trying to come up with solutions. You don't show residents like myself pushing back against the elected officials like, we got to do something.
And I would even go further than that and say the regular life in Inglewood. You know,
absolutely.
Not every single block and every single place has gun violence at every single moment. But sometimes it feels like it's characterized that way.
It is because, like, again, I know what sells. I've worked in a newsroom. I know what sells. I know what's sexier. I know what, and at 2 o'clock afternoon editorial meeting, what we want to cover, what we're going to send our reporters out to. And I've been the one who pushed back and say, cover this. We got to change those conversations. It takes more people who look like you, who looks like the people who are downtown, to really change those conversations. Like, no, let's cover this. Let's take it a step further. And me being a journalist, you know, I was really, you know, tactful and skillful in knowing how to push back and like, nope, here I am. I'm not going to go away. Cover this. Show the good side. Show us working together. Show us engaged. Don't keep showing the same story over and over again. Like, you're giving the people who are committing these crimes the attention, the airwaves, the spotlight to show them, like, look, I made the news. Look at what we're doing.
Right. And it's funny because last week we heard a little bit about that on the 4th of July, that the police chief came out on Sunday and said, look what we did. We had a great 4th of July. And then overnight
yeah.
into Monday that it spiked. And there was some concern of, whether or not the criminals saw that on TV and said, well, we're going to do something about that.
You keep giving them a platform. You keep giving those individuals the opportunity to beat their chest and say, look, I made the 9 o'clock news. Look, I made the 10 p.m. news. Look at that. And they rap about it. And they talk about it. And they, you know, they go on social media and brag about it. You don't see what people are doing to really create change, solution, and peace in the communities. Show more of the residents out protesting. Show more of the residents out on the streets praying. Show more of the individuals out trying to create solutions and change in the community. Show them out really having these rallies and these talks and conversations, and show families working together. Show the programs that's working in the community.
You know, I asked this question to Mr. Angelo, the president of the FOP, the same concept. You know, why is it that when there is a police shooting that we see a video that comes up, that you will see protests come up in Chicago where there wasn't, this happened in Baton Rouge or St. Paul, or you'll see something in, you know, today even in Los Angeles or New York or other places? Why is it that people come out to protest when there's a police shooting in other places? What does that say about the relationship between the police and communities?
Why do they come out and protest? Because they think it's wrong. It's horrific. I mean, I don't think they just come out to protest when that happens. They come out and protest for various occasions, but because social media is so big and everyone has a camera phone and everyone has access to social media, they want to shame the individuals and the cops who are doing this. It's like now it's coming to a head. Like, we want to put it on blast. It's been happening for so long in our communities. Now that technology is so advanced, now we can capture all these wrongdoings that the cops have been doing for decades. And you know, if you covered, you know, news and politics here in Chicago back then, 20 years ago, did we have social media that we can expose so much crime that was happening? That's what they're doing. They upraged and they're upset. And you have millennials like myself who's like, this is how we're going to protest. This is how we're going to react to it.
Rashana Baldwin is the co-founder of Rage, resident association of Greater Englewood. She's also the host of a radio show called Good in Englewood. We'll continue our conversation. I will take a break for the news. We'll come back with Rashana. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Rashana Baldwin. She is a journalist from Englewood, and she is trying to bring positive stories to the Southside neighborhood. She co-founded Rage, resident association of Greater Englewood, and she hosts a radio show called Good in Englewood. Rashana, one of the things we were talking about before was this notion of black-on-black crime, and whether or not, you know, you hear and you see so many people will say, you know what, why are you protesting out in about a police shooting, and you won't protest what's happening in your neighborhood, what's happening with black on black crime. And that's the kind of conceit, that's the premise of what we're talking about. And we're just talking in the break, and you talked a little bit about, I guess the word's accountability.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the idea that's missing in this, that the black community is somewhat worried that police officers, there's no accountability.
There is accountability in the communities that I come from that look like me. We do the black on black crime. Again, I go back to look at institutionalized racism. Why is it happening? What happens when you don't have certain resources in your community? So to say that we're not doing anything when black on black crime is absolutely ridiculous. And I said before, it's ignorant. We have been protesting. We have been complaining. Oftentimes our, you know, requests and demands go on deaf ears. So the next action to get someone to wake up and pay attention to us is take it to the streets, is get that attention to the media, is to go out and pray, is to go out and have these rallies, do something, as opposed to, oh, just respect the police. Oh, just listen to the police. When you have individuals and cops that come into our community that don't look like us, and they're overzealous, and they're, you know, taking that authority a step further, too hard, too aggressive, because they're fearful of us. They're fearful of the minorities, of the individuals who don't look like them. So to say that we are not, you know, being accountable to ourselves and what happens in our neighborhoods is just absolutely ignorant and ridiculous. We do take it a step further. We are in outrage. We are upset. We are, you know, offended. And we do our best to make people hear us and, you know, really try to get our neighborhoods to, you know, be peaceful. That's why those protests, that's why these peace rallies are happening.
And if a gang member shoots another gang member, there's a police case in a case in which when the gang member is caught, the assailant, they're given punishment.
Yes.
And that's a big part of this, because what the protests that are happening and what people don't understand when they make that comparison is a lot of times, and we've seen this and the stats back this up, this is not opinion, that a lot of times when police officers are involved in shootings, and there is a protest to say that maybe, you know, they overstepped their boundaries.
Absolutely.
Rarely does the justice system back that up.
Absolutely. What happens when, as we see now, so many cops have, you know, committed murders and crimes? What happens to them? How do they get punished? Oh, they get slapped on the wrist. They get paid administrative leave. What happens to when individuals, black on black crime happens or whatever? They get life. But when a cop commits a crime, oh, you get a paid leave. You get 90-day suspension with paid leave. You get to go return back to your nice, comfortable home and still collect your pension and still collect money from the taxpayers. So who's holding the cops accountable when they're committing these vicious crimes and these murders? No one. So that's why you see these protests is even more aggressive and upset and pissed off. And what is going on? How are we holding these cops accountable? Something needs to change. That's why you see so many countless protests left and right. Like, that needs to change, because now you can't even turn to the police to get assistance, to get help. You don't trust the police. That relationship is broken. So it's easy for someone looking from the outside of Inglewood, outside of the West Side, to say, just respect the police, just obey the police, just put your hands up in the air, just call the police when you see them out on the corner game banging. Really? What do you think happens when we do that? What do you think, even when they take it a step further, when I just said, oh, just snitch on him selling drugs. So what happens when I go snitch on a drug house next door? What happens to my family? Is this cop going to protect me every single day of the rest of his life? No, I can end up with a bullet in my head. So what are you doing to really end that situation and end that? What are you doing to really bring economic change in our community? What are you doing to bring resources in our community so this won't result into that? That's when I go back to the racism, the institutionalized racism that's been happening. This black on black crime is just not something that just happened overnight. It's a reason why that's happening. It's a reason our communities are set up to look like this on purpose. We are separate and divided on purpose.
You grew up in Inglewood.
I grew up in Inglewood.
Talk about the neighborhood. To WGN Radio, and there may not be a lot of people who've listened to WGN Radio who are living in the suburbs, myself included, that spent a lot of time in Inglewood. But all we hear about is the violence and what happens in the news. So what? Tell us about neighborhood. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in So I grew up, I like to call it the Upper East Side of Inglewood. I grew up in Inglewood, lifelong Inglewoodian on Morgan Street. I'm not going to give the exact address.
It's okay, you don't have to.
I grew up in Inglewood. And me growing up in Inglewood, in the countless articles and interviews I talked about, I was like, you know, I didn't grow up the way the media has portrayed the community.
Well, how did you grow up?
Going to school, enjoying life, participating in every sports. I was into sports, played tennis, played basketball. I'm a vegan. When I tell individuals that, they're like, no, you're not. You're not from Inglewood. You're from Hyde Park? Where are you from? You're from downtown? So growing up in Inglewood was great for me. I mean, I was actively engaged in everything. School, sports, arts and cultures, African dance. My mom was really hands-on with her children, and she was a single mom, but she did what she did to keep us engaged into the community. She also was marching in 1960 when things were happening, so a lot of that has trickled down into me to be consciously aware that I am an African-American woman growing up in Chicago on the South Side, and to pay attention to certain things and just be consciously aware of how I'm portrayed.
Have you seen an economic change in the neighborhood? Have you seen, you know, from growing up in the 80s, I guess it would be, right?
Excuse me, I grew up in the 90s. I am a millennial growing up in the 80s.
Sorry, born in the late 80s, maybe, right?
Yes.
But talk about, have you seen in your lifetime a change in which the neighborhood has maybe been run down?
It's
is it weird. Similar? What is it?
It's trying to make, so right now what's happening in Inglewood currently, let's start currently. Presently, it's like this synergy going around, you know, all the development, the Whole Foods, the 63rd and Halsted development, the new businesses that's coming. So me growing up, it wasn't any of that. We still had a lot of barber shops and beauty shops and churches. The economic development wasn't there. They were trying. This was before the new Kennedy King College was built in 2005. So it was still toward the end of the 80s. 63rd and Halsted had completely was like gone. That was like, you know, back in the day, the 1960s, 50s, when 63rd and Halsted was the biggest retail district, if you will, closer to downtown, second to downtown. And that had completely gone away, but they still had a few like little corner stores that wasn't really doing anything for the community. So me growing up then, it was, no, it wasn't nothing. It
what
was
there? I mean, what?
Corner stores.
When you say corner stores, like you're talking about liquor slash convenience stores.
Convenience stores, a few mom and pop stores. It was a few mom and pop stores. It was nothing. It was nothing. So me saying that, when you have nothing in your community, what are you supposed to do? When you can't leave your community, you have to leave your community to go somewhere else to shop for groceries or shop for quality clothing and food and education. What are you supposed to do? Right. So what happens in, what happens when that community is robbed of those resources?
Or and what's it, your, I mean, what's your, I guess, what's the impact and also what's the awareness of your community if you or the value of it if you have to go somewhere else? Even your self-value, a feeling about where you live when you can't do the essential things in the neighborhood in which you
I
live.
I can't shop in my neighborhood. I can't, you know, have a great meal in my neighborhood. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't buy clothing in my neighborhood. I have to go downtown. I have to go to the suburbs. I have to go far west. And that's what I talk about, those, you take those, you take those resources and funding outside of our community, and the individuals wonder why there's violence. You, when you don't have quality food, if I haven't eaten all day and I'm at school and I'm acting crazy, I haven't eaten all day and I don't have access to food and medical, then what happens? So then you can't say a community, you guys should change, but put those resources back into our communities. Allow us to compete with other communities who are viable and thriving and sustainable. Mm-hmm. So now, well, you see the shift. You said, what's economic now? It's shifting. Is more of a demand, more of the elected officials, if you will. We want our communities to look like,
right, the Whole Foods.
The Whole Foods.
Right.
I mean, and that was, you know, crazy to individuals like Whole Foods. We don't know. It's like, well, we cannot not have any. We cannot afford not to have a Whole Foods in our community. That's not going to, if you will, gentrification. It's going to take tens of thousands of middle class people to move to Englewood before that happens.
You have been a spokesperson for the positive stories that are coming out of Englewood. Yeah. There are negative stories. A lot. There are some blocks where there's a lot of gang activity, and that has shifted over the years. We've heard stories and try to understand how gangs and gang warfare has changed. I mean, it's gone from the big gangs that sort of had territory to gang members on every block, you know, protecting their block.
Yeah.
I know it's great to talk about the positive things, but is there a future where the negative things can be eradicated? Is there a future in which you see some way that, whether it be within the community or forces from without, that we are going to shift the paradigm and stop the violence in places like Englewood?
I would love the violence to stop all across the country, all across the world. Me talking about the positive is more so give us a fair balance. Absolutely, it's always going to be some issues or some instances where violence occurs. But I've always took the motto, let's show the positive side. Let's give it, let's, you know, show both. Show, give it a counter. Where is the counter? So me creating that Good in Englewood, you know, that Good in Englewood radio show, because we don't have, you know, news feeds pumping out the good, feel good news. Yeah, you know, violence, it happens, it occurs, it exists, but it's not every single day. In communities like Englewood, you can't paint the community as everyone in the Englewood community creating violence. They try to take these numbers and everyone wants to report the statistics that lie. We know you can lie with numbers and statistics, but you can't sit there and paint a community of over 70,000 and say everyone in that community is creating crimes, and that's just not the case. When you look at it realistically speaking, more than half of the Englewood community are law-abiding citizens. When you see violence is in those segregated, isolated areas where you're like, that individual wasn't even from the Englewood community. They happened to come over here to visit, and that happened, that kicked off. So we need to see that. We need to see, let's address the root of the problem. Why is the violence happening? Don't keep talking about the exact same thing and not getting to the issue. Why did this happen? Why is it happening? Why is it continuing to happen? How do we address the issue, the root of the problem? So me countering that with the positivity is like, show a different side. Shame on you for not covering what's good in Englewood. Shame on you for not actually getting to the root of the problem. And I even take it a step further and blast the individuals who come outside of the country, who come outside of the state and want to do all these beautiful documentaries.
And that's all great to talk about the positive stories about Englewood. Do you at all hold other residents who may not be doing good for their community accountable?
You almost had me curse on air. Absolutely. What? Do I hold?
What can you do? I mean, are you the kind of person who's going to charge into a couple guys hanging out in the corner and be like, go home?
I'm going to always use my common sense to address any issue. I live in the urban city known as Chicago, so I'm not going to address a bunch of guys on the street like, pull your pants up. But to my peers, to my residents, to my fellow Inglewoodians, you know, like I told you earlier off air, I'm not an activist. I don't wake up saying, how can I change the community? I want to get involved. So if you could do something, whether it's in the boardroom, whether it's on the airways, whatever role you're in, what can you do to make a difference? I often say I'm a journalist, so it is my social responsibility to do something, to talk about it as a resident, as a Chicagoan. It's my civic duty to be active. So what are you doing to do something differently that you haven't done yesterday or today? What are you doing to make a difference in your community? Like I said, whether it's, you know, in a nonprofit sector, whether it's in corporate America, whether it's, you know, on a basketball court, whether you're having those conversations, what are you doing to change the conversation, Justin Kaufman? What are you doing to change the conversation, neighbor? What are you doing to do something? You know, I'm not going to expect you to do the exact same thing that I'm doing. I'm not going to expect you to get up and, you know, just be aggressive, but I expect you to do something. Because if you don't, if you sit back and say nothing, then you are part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You can't continue to complain. And I take it a step further to the individuals on the north side, in the suburbs. What are you doing to make a difference? What are you doing to change those conversations? Educate yourself on why this is happening before you make these wonderful, beautiful, lovely comments about what we are doing and how it's all our fault. But what have you done? What have you, because once it trickles down over across Roosevelt, now it becomes your problem. Now you're pissed off. So don't wait till it gets to that point. Won't you do something as well? I'm not never asking anyone to come save us, but how are you changing the conversation? How are you educating yourself?
We will continue the conversation. Rashana Baldwin is the co-founder of RAGE, Resident Association of Greater Inglewood. She also hosts a radio show called Good in Inglewood. You got to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to come back and continue this great conversation, because I know you have a lot of listeners who are like upset and pounding their chest like, what is she talking about?
No, we don't. The Download Nation is, I said at the beginning of the show, we're open to different points of view, and we want to hear from everybody. I mean, that's people are calling in, and they want to be part of the conversation. That's a good thing. And we'll take some of those calls.
Absolutely.
Rashana Baldwin, thanks for being here.
No problem. Thank you.